Welcome back to another GVO talk show, the Good Vibes Only talk show. On today's episode, I wanted to talk a bit about technology, specifically artificial intelligence. With this word becoming a bit more of a buzzword, more well-known, and with technology growing so fast, I was thinking I needed to consult someone, at least someone that I think has a lot of practical experience with artificial intelligence. That's why I would like to introduce my guest for today, Carl Detoy. Thank you, Carl, for being able to join.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. Looking forward to having a conversation and shooting the breeze around what's happening with AI and where's it going. It changes literally on a daily basis. So if you take a two-week holiday and you come back, it's a different world. So looking forward to having a conversation about where I think it is right now.
Of course. So there's these certain like language used in artificial intelligence or in AI, at least, for example, LLM. I think for people who don't have any idea what's going on there, can you just give like what is an LLM?
Yeah, it's a super interesting thing. It's a large language model, which effectively means that it's an AI model that interprets content and then gives you context back. Now, in layman's terms, if you think about it, you've got to go, it creates content for you. Now, just that concept is foreign, because if you compare it to something like Google or a Bing search, you type in a search phrase, it comes back, it gives you results. If you ask the same question in an LLM like GPT or Gemini of Google or Anthropic, it takes all that search results and it takes context and it gives you an answer across all of them. So it actually creates content. And the way LLM works,
hello.
You back.
I don't know what happened there. Hopefully it will not happen again. I'm on my phone's Wi-Fi. We'll see what happens. LLMs and it produces content. How does it produce this content?
That's the scary piece, right? So you would think that when you have a conversation with someone, because you're both in the conversation, you have context. You're talking to each other, you know each other, you introduce each other. So you talk to each other in the context of that conversation. And an LLM, you can ask it a question, will interpret all the information, will give you an answer in the context of the conversation. And what it does, scaringly, it predicts the next best word to answer you. So it actually answers you without context. But to the human, it feels like it's got complete context, because you ask it a question, it interprets all the information, and it gives you an answer. So it's a little bit frightening if you look at the math behind LLMs. But fundamentally, it is a model that predicts the next best word based on how you ask the question. And that is probably the most important thing about an LLM, is how you ask the question. Now, you know, we're going to have probably a few debates about this point. You know, people are talking about the new careers called like prompt engineering and prompting, and there's courses for prompting. But fundamentally, what that means is, how do you give the context to the question so it can answer you correctly? And as humans,
give you the best prediction, I presume. Give you the best prediction.
Exactly. So to make it practical, you and I had a little bit of a chat before we got into the cast, and it's, you gave me context. You go like, this is what you want to talk about. This is what we're going to do. Now, if people use GPT or Gemini or any of these LLMs, they just ask a question. They don't give the context. Now, the context is actually where the secret sauce is. And by saying, this is your audience, this is what you're doing, I have context. But if you just ask a question, if you go to GPT, and you ask, what's an LLM, we'll give you an answer. If you go to GPT and you say, I'm I'm a host of a podcast. We're talking about today. This is what we're going to do. Can you please give me like an answer of what it is in the context of the problem I'm asking? You're going to get a completely different answer. And that's kind of the way to think about it. Because
what is also very cool is you can give personalities to it as well. You can give it context and be like, answer to me as if you were a stand-up comedian. What is the LLM? Or all these different things. It's actually very, very cool the amount of work you can do with it. But I had a question on the previous thing that you mentioned. Like, so these models are all built up from math. It's math that sort of like needs to predict what the next token is, or the next word in the context of the LLM. How did they even figure out that this is going to work? Or was it just sort of a test and it just happened for the artificial intelligence?
Interestingly, it was actually Google that got the PT of GPT working in the prediction model. So it's this premise of, in the context of the conversation, predict the next thing. And whether it is gambling or a word or a, they got that math right. And then they started applying it to conversation. So maybe let's take a step back and talk about AI in general.
Okay.
AI has been with us 30 years. It's not new. It's been machine learning models and deep learning in PLC hardware since the 80s. The difference with GPT is democratizing. So the way to think about it is you always had to be a smart mathematical and engineer and a coder to understand the language to talk to this thing. But with GPT, they bridged the gap to talk to AI that it understands you and it talks back to you.
Now, yeah, OpenAI was the first people I think that figured out how can you take this hard concept and give it to anyone so that anyone can understand. The user interface was groundbreaking, and that's why it is ChatGPT. That's why everyone knows it. Everyone, and I mean, with ChatGPT, do you know how often it is used in universities, like among students? I would say the premise behind it or the reasoning behind it is not the best. I would say a lot of it is used as multiple choice questions, building up essays, doing projects, all these different type of things, which it is a tool, it is meant to help you. But I wanted to ask, like, what are the most common capabilities or the most used capabilities you would give for like artificial intelligence for in context of a university student?
So as a university student, like a long time ago myself, I think the first thing you want to do is like work less, right? So you want to figure out how to use this new tool to give you context of, and let's maybe put a little bit of a futuristic view on this, right? I'm a university, every single class is recorded. Every single class is transcribed, okay? So I'm a university that the lecturer is Chinese, but I'm Afrikaans or I'm Dutch or I'm, doesn't matter anymore, right? Because every single class is transcribed in real time to any language. So now you're in this place where that barrier to entry is gone. If you're in the class or not in the class, you can get context of the class because you can ask it the way you ask it. It's a complete game changer. I think, let's maybe introduce this concept. Intelligence has become free. And the way to think about it is, ChatGPT-3 versus ChatGPT-4 is 1,000 times cheaper.
What, to actually use it?
To actually use
it. I did
not
know. I knew the different models have different pricings on it, but I did not know it was that cheap.
So if you look at the commercialization of this, right, what 3 could do versus what 4 can do, and the price point, it's mental. So you're basically saying, maybe the best way to explain it to people is to what they know. Look at Google. What pays for Google?
The users.
Ads.
Ads.
Ads. Huh? Ads pays for Google. What's paying for GPT?
Users.
No, because there's a There's a $600 billion investment in GPT at the moment, and there's a massive revenue gap. Okay. So companies are forward investing and they're saying, this is the new thing. We will make our money eventually. And this is how the world has changed. It's no longer I make my money and then I build. It's I build and I hope they make my money.
Ooh,
So,
yeah, I like the way you put it there.
if you put it into context, we look at investment and we think people, if I have my stat, if you look at like stats wise, you have 60 billion that's been invested into GPT models across Gemini and X and Anthropic and all these other different
You have a
guys.
lot of things like Starlink is going on now, Microsoft investing billions into Starlink.
So let's think about it like this. That sounds impressive, right? It sounds like a hell of a lot of money. How much money do you think has gone into self-driving cars?
To solve?
100 billion. Self-driving cars.
Ooh, yeah, that's even more.
100 billion. Okay. How much money has gone into the world of, yeah, self-driving cars is $1 trillion. It was 600, it's now $1 trillion. Okay. But the reason I bring up self-driving cars is the way they did it originally and how they do it now. Okay. Originally, self-driving cars, if you take Tesla as the pioneers, they had 300,000 lines of code and infrared that made the decisions of the self-driving car. What do they have today?
AI.
I use
And in,
AI.
and I mean, you have a bunch of previous data to build this AI on how to predict what is going to happen in the next situation. So it solves the problem pretty much. I actually,
And
yeah,
yeah,
I have an
exactly.
interesting statistic here actually to pull up, and I feel it's very fitting in here of how fast growing this is. So I asked Perplexity, which is a great search engine artificial from AI, and I asked him to compare different social media platforms and how long it took to get 100 million users to actually be on top of it. So this is across everything. Facebook took 4 years and 6 months to get 100 million viewers or
That was
users.
super impressive at the time, right? It was like, wow, how did this
Yeah, who
happen?
didn't use Facebook at the time? Like everyone was on Facebook. Still very useful. Then you ramp it down to Instagram. 2 years and 6 months to get 100 million users. Next up, TikTok. Do you want to take a guess how long it took TikTok?
It was like 8 months or something, right? It was like less than
Nine
a year,
months.
right?
Yeah. Good guess. Great guess. And then ChatGPT, 2 months. It took ChatGPT 2 months, 60 days. That is millions per day. That's more than a million per day. So this tech is just, it's starting to take over, and I think people are starting to see all the use cases in it, and there's a lot of use cases that you can actually apply this to.
So Nathan, let's talk about that. All right, so I run a business, it's an IT business. I do a lot of work in AI, a lot of consulting. Why, if it's so obvious to you and me, are super smart CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and listed companies around the world struggling to put it into their business? Why? Right?
If
It's
I need to think, if I need to play my part in it, it's probably the percussions of it, of you, like there's going to be salary cuts or workforce is going to get downgraded because the level of intelligence is just brought up. You like intelligence is just getting smarter and smarter. So yeah, I would say think that is why they haven't done it. But to be honest, if I was a CEO of a big Fortune 500 company, why not implement this? Why not? It's not going
So
away.
there will be an army of people telling you why not. The world is filled with people that knows exactly why not, right? So you never have to worry about them. They're always there. They'll tell you. So what you basically do is you like listen to what they're saying. And you kind of figure out the opposite. You go like, these are all the reasons I shouldn't do it. Why should I do it? So the way to think about it is, AI is just another technology tool, and let's maybe compare it to a few things that got us here, right? So what happened before? The internet is a pretty big revolution that happened in our era, right?
The World Wide
What
Web
did it
without
do?
Google.
World Wide Web, the super highway, information highway. It was conceptually, when I started working, that was like people weren't buying into this. It didn't have a cool name like cloud, and people understood it. You can subscribe to it. None of that stuff existed. But what it fundamentally did is put the world online. It put information online.
It gave people access to information and access to other people.
But it didn't in the beginning, Nathan. It didn't, right? Putting things online and not being able to find it is to go to a library without a librarian. So what was the librarian to the internet? It was Google.
Yeah, the search engine. Yeah.
What Google did is they made it basically super easy to find anything. So that was... The first thing was like getting it online. The second thing is like finding stuff online. And I think that the thing that most people don't get yet is that GPT is not a search engine. Okay? It creates content. So if you put a great Google search down and gives you like the best five results, you still click on every URL, you still go to every single site, you still interpret all the information, you still... And then you go through that process.
You answer your initial question.
With GPT and a couple of the other LLM models, you can provide context around why you're asking this, the format you want the result in, and you can interpret it. And I think that it creates content on your blog based on how smart you ask it to create content for you. Now, if you just like pause for 1 second and you think about that, right? Let's introduce this concept, and this is can't remember the guy's name now, but he's an absolute AI legend. He introduced this concept of AI Atlantis. I don't know if you've heard of AI Atlantis.
No, I have not.
So principally, it says something like this. We have just discovered another continent on planet Earth. Okay? There's 100 billion super smart graduates ready to work. And you pay them 2 electrons a day. They've read the entire internet. They've listened to every single song in the world. And they've watched every single movie on YouTube.
And they're great artists as well.
They are information overload. Okay? But like any intern or any graduate, so like let's assume they just got their honors degree in like general BA or BCom, whatever the case may be. And they're all top of the class. Every single one of them. Do you expect an intern or graduate that starts working at your job to know exactly what to do and how to do from there on? No, because they have no job experience. They have no... So now the way to think about business, and you've got to think about this thing that creates content for you is, I have all these billion, 100 billion people that always works, never complains, super smart graduates that I have to train.
You have no HR problems, no
zero.
No harassment in the office.
Zero. They don't have hangovers, they're not sick days, zero.
They don't party.
They're missing out, but you know, the point is like from an economics perspective, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you've got this Atlantis of these 100 billion of people slash bots slash whatever you want to call them, that's there to do your bidding. Now, they are not perfect, nor is a human. They're not going to get it right, nor is a human. And this is the problem that most people have around when they talk about GPT and the principle of it. They think it should be perfect. But it isn't. Of course, it is as good as the instruction given and the model that's based on. Okay. And
it's all about the system prompt, I would say, to like you can change reactions so much just by the context that you provide beforehand for it. But before you go on, why do you think you are explaining these 100 billion graduates? Why would a Fortune 500 CEO not want to put that in his own business? Why do you think that?
So I'm gonna answer your question with a question. Okay? Why wouldn't you, as a smart youngster, take on a Fortune 500 company worth 100 billion graduates?
Mm.
You have zero legacy. You don't have to explain to your shareholders why people are losing their jobs. And for the first time ever in the history of man, you have a force multiplier. So what that means is people will follow you because you pay them $20 a month. And the people are the graduates. Right? Nothing stops you anymore. Where you come from, you need an internet access and you need to be smart and you need to ask the right questions. So the way to think about it is, I said earlier, that CEO has 20 people telling him why it won't work because of risk and HR and compliance and all the reasons, because that's what they're protecting their jobs. Just to put it bluntly, right?
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, can disrupt that complete industry. Fundamentally, everybody in AI believes there will be unicorns run by 4 or 5 people.
Solo millionaires, they're talking now. Solo millionaires. It was always the concept of an entrepreneur with a few people bringing in millions of dollars. Now with AI, you get these, like you say, unicorns. I actually wanted to pull up an example. His name is Alexander Wang. He's the youngest billionaire ever made. Like 2016, the guy started creating a company. The facts are not 100% there, but just go look into it if you want to. This guy, all AI built. Now you have the access to become a solo billionaire, almost. On that context, I would actually like, let me quickly share my screen. I have a video I wanted to show. Share. So this is a interview done. It is Bill McDermott, Jensen Huang from NVIDIA, of course, and Michael Dell from the Dell company. And this is what he has to say. Can you hear by any chance?
No, the video's not, the sounds are coming through. I think you didn't share your sound, so maybe.
Technical error in such a great tech time.
It happens all the time.
Well, pretty much what he's telling, let me try once again and see if I can share my audio. Yeah, here you go. Share sound. So here's this video with Bill McDermott, Jensen Huang, and Michael Dell.
We'll be re-engineered in 24 months. This is a tsunami, Ed. This is a tsunami of change. And only the smart ones are going to recognize I have to plant the flag now. Whether the story is complete or not is not the issue. The train's moved out. It's on the fly.
So you made this analogy. I think you were channeling Jensen, but the idea is that when you...
That's pretty much just the part that I wanted to discuss about. So in the video, he talks about these 24 months where these companies are just going to... It's like a tsunami that's going to happen. In your own thoughts, what is your forecast for the next 24 months in tech, in business, in the business context?
You know, it's such a cool question because I can answer it almost in like 10 dimensions. It is in operations, in marketing, in sales, in... So let's go for the simplest and kind of combine it all. Nothing will be the same. And the reason why nothing will be the same, the world in the last 5 years has fundamentally shifted. The way we work, where we work, the type of technology we use to work. You know, COVID had a shift. AI had a shift. The rest of the technology being democratized has all basically concluded to one thing. Okay? What got you here won't get you there. Right? So in any business, if you believe your strategy that was successful for like the last 2 years are going to be successful next year, you're fooling yourself. Because you asked earlier, how would a CEO not incorporate or not incorporate this? In my business, every single new person is expected to know how to use GPT. it's a the way to think about it, it's like electricity. It's oxygen.
You need
now
to
people go like, but yeah,
I'd say
it's like knowing how to type. And the way we test people to know whether they know how to use GPT or not is not to hack their jobs, but to make their jobs more productive. Right?
I always see it as this way. I always use this imagery. Like a podcast before, I was like just talking, ranting a bit about AI. It's like a tool. It was back our ancestors, the primate ancestors, that figured out, okay, there's a nut, and in this nut, there's something edible. But I can't open it with my fingers. Takes a rock, boom, smashes it. There you go. You have food for tonight. Then there's fire. You figure out, oh, this is this thing that I can... It gives me warmth, it gives me light, it gives me protection from animals in the night. If I get too close, it might hurt, but in general, it's a tool. This right now is the modern Homo erectus's tool. It's the Homo sapiens tool for the future, I think.
And that's a great explanation, because we always joke in our business, we say a fool with a tool is still a fool. And the way to think about it is prompting, when we got back to earlier, right? If you ask the wrong questions, you took the analogy around taking a rock to break the nut. If you take the rock and you eat your hand, it's not going to be good, right? You know, it's a...
Then you're a real fool. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be a real fool. And that's the same. You know, we see this all the time. People hate change. So let's maybe like take a little bit of a dig into that, right? Jobs. What's happening with job? All right, so we just basically said and agreed that this massive...
Yeah,
nothing will save. This tool that's like... When I was young, like He-Man was like my cartoon, you know, and he had the sword. I've got the sword, right? So why the hell are you not using the sword? Because people don't like change. And here's the reality, right? Yes, there will absolutely and unequivocally be jobs that's lost. Let's not work around that, right? But there will be equally, and it's proven over and over and over through the Industrial Revolution and the Internet Revolution and that, we will create jobs.
What new jobs do you think will be able to be created? I'll first ask that, and then later on, I'll follow up on what jobs do you think are in danger right now? I know it's a scary thing to say, sort of, but yeah. Just be blunt.
I think let's rather turn around. Let's start with what jobs is in danger, right? Because it's an easier segue into how to adopt it. Right now, no jobs are in danger. And I say that just because there's corporate bureaucracy and all these things in place, because people protect people and this is good.
Yeah, that is good.
So right now, the philosophy is use the tool to keep your job.
Okay.
Like any other tech system, robotics process. So it's more about the principle of a third, a third, a third. Whenever you introduce a change into any environment, a third of people adopt it, a third of people are apprehensive, a third don't. Always works like that in any technology.
Okay.
You still there, Nathan?
Yeah, the signal is being tough. It's being a bit of a pain, but I get bits and pieces of information, great information getting thrown at me. But I understood. So there's a third of people who adopt to it, who will actually take the technology. A third of people, I'm not sure what the second third was, and the other third
they're on the fence, that are going to see which way this is going to go. And a third of people just don't change. Now, that concept has never, ever changed. Okay? The only difference is, let's say in the previous five cycles, they had 10 years, then 5 years, then 2 years, then 1 year, then 6 months to adopt. Now they have like 2 weeks.
What is that great movie? What is that? I'm very bad with movie names, but it's about these two older gentlemen that sales reps, they start working at Google. They do an internship. I think it's called the internship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. It's like they never, with the watches and stuff, there's no one is going to use watches anymore. And then now they started working at this internet company, didn't know what anything was, and they were adopters, I guess. I don't know why this reason popped in my head, but it makes sense. It's like, yeah.
And it's a good analogy because it's got nothing to do with age. It's got something to do with attitude. Right? So Anne Hathaway was in that movie. I think she was at the MD. And I think that...
It's the blonde comic. I love him. He plays in, I think, Zoolander as well. I'm not sure. The blonde man...
Owen Wilson?
Yeah, Owen Wilson. Yeah, he has the messed up nose. And who was the other guy? That Matt Damon. Was he with him? No.
Oh, I can't remember now. I just remember Owen Wilson.
But, yeah, Owen Wilson, yeah. Off topic.
No, but I mean, but it makes it real because that's like something we identify with. And I think probably there's two concepts to land when it talks around jobs in danger and jobs changing. Because that's kind of the way you think about it, right? So let's talk bots or pilots or co-pilots.
Okay? Agents
For many years, you've had, in the beginning, you only had a personal assistant or an executive assistant if you were like the CEO, right?
Okay.
And then
you have the CEO of what?
He was the big man. He was the only one, or she was the only one that had an assistant. Okay?
Yeah.
Because their time was considered more important, so they shouldn't do the medial things. Okay? And then businesses grew, and then the next of the C-level got it, and then the next of the directors got it, and the next. Because everybody realized that, holy, well, you've got to protect time for the person to create and not do menial things.
You need to start reallocating jobs for other people so that you have more jobs for your, or you can focus more on what is important as the CEO or the manager.
And Nathan, what you said there is important. What is important? Okay, so now, and this is the difference between where we are and where we go. What is important into the future? What is important into the future is to have time to create, to be creative.
Okay.
Right? So if I'm sitting down and I'm typing responses to 50 emails, which is medium and easy, I'm not creating. So if I have a great PA and she knows me and she's worked with me for, or he's worked with me for like 5 years or 10 years, he can respond on my behalf.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't do that. Now, every single person in the world can, for $20, have a personal assistant. Now, let that concept land. Every single person can have a personal assistant. That is one of those 100 billion super smart graduates sitting in AI Atlantis.
That it's, yeah. It all depends on you, how much your PA knows about you or how smart your PA is.
No, and you're 100% right. At the moment, that is the status quo. Okay? Nathan, in a year, that will not be the status quo. Because in a year, between Google and Microsoft and the rest of the guys working in tech, they'll bring out new assistants that will go and read all emails you've ever written, all things you put on Slack, all things you put on Teams, all things you put on WhatsApp, what you give it access to, and it will know you. It will know your communication style has changed.
In my own eyes, they are taking that personal information that you are training a model on that I don't even think the guys at the top really know what it actually is. Like, artificial intelligence is such a crazy concept that of how good it's working. Because as far as I understand, Sam Altman and the guys there over at OpenAI or OpenAI, they figured out, listen, this is intelligence. And this intelligence can grow just by upscaling the amount of data it can take in. So the bigger your data centers, the just like that, like a graph, there goes the intelligence. And I don't think they initially thought that was what is going to happen, but it is what is happening.
Nathan, they did, but they didn't think it was going to happen this fast. And that's a big thing, right? So the pace of this is incredible. But you know what's more incredible? The cost.
Yeah.
The cost. So you have basically made intelligence free.
Can I say, as a person, like I understood the business concept behind it. I can empathize with it because I will approach someone and I will tell them, listen, you have this assistant that, for example, writes all your emails. I'm this random person, but I know how to build a bot, or I can provide you this technology that, what is minimum salary? Minimum salary in Germany or something is like 3,000 euros. So I would do that for you for 200 euros. You can charge it more if you want to.
24 hours a day.
Yeah. No. And it's probably cheaper than that. I still have good returns from that. I still have great returns on giving that. And that's the state of the technology.
And I think once you kind of figure out this premise of intelligence is free, because that's, you got to go there. You got to go all the way where it almost isn't, but it's going there. Intelligence is now free. How do you, there's been people for millennia, right, that control things, right? So they were the Kaisers or the kings or the, and they were the only ones that could do something. And often they were idiots, complete imbeciles, right? Now you've basically gone to the little seaport in Khayelitsha in South Africa, or Raj in India, or Xing in China, that is super intelligent and it's got a great idea, and you give him
due to some technical errors, we find you back. We'll see how long it lasts and hopefully no more problems. So if everyone has this technology right in their back pocket of this, do you think this sort of ends large corporations, or not ends it, but like sort of limits a lot of what these large corporations do? What I mean with this question is, you have companies that are almost monopolies. You have your Googles, your Amazons, your NVIDIAs, I don't know, all these different high-tech companies that have a large workflow. They have a lot of people working for them. They generate most of the income. Will this technology that we have now almost put a slight stop on it, because now everyone has the same access to technology like this?
Actually, yeah, maybe make a little bit of a controversial statement. If you get every single person in the world and you kill everyone, what does that change?
Nothing.
It changes everything. Because the moment there's only so many people that have one, and they can threaten each other. So now we all have one. So I can kill you. So if we democratize intelligence, because this is what we're doing, we're giving every single person. So mate, we haven't even discussed this. So let's just go there for the sake of proving this as well. By 2040, maybe this is not a long time from where we are. This is 60 years. This is almost your age. Like
in the context of this technology, 60 years is a lifetime.
But here where I'm going is, in 16 years, there will be 1 billion humanoid robots with this technology walking around you. Okay? So So think about, we just talked about it's going to change everything. Because it's in the computer. Because I now have to use the remote with the analog TV and analysis and keep on using that. I can now talk to it. So we don't have this concept of humanoid. By 2040, it's predicted that there will be 10 billion humanoid robots with this technology in it. Now,
yeah, that's really different. It's a hard one to take in, but I can totally see that happening.
Let me ask you this question. In 2040, okay, 16 years from now, I'm going to ask your 12-year-old son or daughter, sorry, dear, what do you have to say about all this humanoid robots walking around? You know what our answer is going to be?
I don't think it's normal. It is what it is. That's how you grew up with it. Yeah.
Because you grew up with having speakers in your house that you could talk to, and Apple TV has been talked to. I had to know how to code to talk to a computer. Natural language, interpretation, and humanoids will be normal. It is absolutely So the economical model, you're going to laugh. There's already an economical model that says by 2030, I said 2040, by 100 robots, by 2030, how much do you think that really will cost you to subscribe to a humanoid robot for your house? Cleans, cooks.
$1,000+?
$100 a month.
That's $100 a month,
right? Now think about the repercussions.
How do you even sustain that?
This is the point. So making intelligence free, then we put it in a new house. So then you gotta ask yourself economically what does this mean? This is why the world economy is growing. Because we're making people the greater stuff and not shit jobs. Because we keep on making it more service oriented. Look at production versus service orientation economies. It's all becoming service. It's this super interesting shift. And everybody's getting stuck at where we are right now. It's right now. I've got a GPT and I can use service. It's not. It's my job. Is surely not to know what I'm supposed to do now. If that was my job, I would be fired. My job is what does this business need in like 3 years, 5 years? It used to be 3 years, 5 years. My job is now, how does this business relevant in 1 year? It's not because you can't predict further than that. But if you look at the trends, it's frightening that the way I think about it is like momentum. It just gets faster and faster, like we did with this, with the chip says Moore's law, double capacity, AI is faster. So we will have humanoid AI, generative AI, raising. I have a question for you.
Elon Musk, that great South African, very controversial as well, with this new Neuralink like getting released. I think the first guy, Nolan Ogbal, I'm definitely butchering his surname, had like broke his neck, quadriplegic, can't move, got Neuralink in his brain. This man, just from the interviews that he's done, he's just talked about how great this is. Do you think there will... Every now and then I'm playing with that concept in my head. What if we become robots? What if you sort of neuralink our ass straight into a humanoid robot and then you remove all the bad parts of humans, I almost want to say. It's not bad because it keeps you human, but I mean, we break arms. We have very, very soft flesh. Let's go take a walk, let's go take a hike. There's a little bit of a, I don't know, a fawn or something. You are hurting. All the human concept of, or the human part of being almost vulnerable physically, that gets removed.
But imagine we're now talking about AI and health, which is stupidly insane. Let's forget about. I'll get to the point of it that you want to talk around the premise of, you know, download my intelligence somewhere and I'm no longer vulnerable. Let's just talk about the premise of being deficient alone. Yeah. It's cool to be deficient alone. But what's not cool about it is like you get old and you die. So what if
we're not on ourselves? But do we?
Because it's going to change in our hormones and how we operate that says, like, I'm no longer producing this, I'm producing that, therefore you're aging. So if you can, with DNA manipulation, stop it, right, and you no longer age, like, are we still vulnerable?
So, no, because you live forever almost.
You've got to look at this premise of, it's always been the human thing, right? These days, the laptop about lifespan, the book about health. There's a book written by, I just forgot the author's name, literally the book is called Lifespan, from, he's a Harvard professor, Dr. David Sinclair.
He talks about this concept of lifespan, he pretty much already found the technology, or at least was able to identify why aging happens, or what is the natural progress of aging. And he said, okay, so you identified that, that means you can stop it, sort of. You can sort of prevent it or you can prolong it, but not the current way of seeing medicine, because I mean animal medicine, but I'll claim it. We study the same stuff.
It's sort of preventing, but it's preventing in almost a capitalistic mind. It's not solving, it's only preventing, it's only making a problem now into a big problem in five years. It doesn't mean the problem is getting taken away. And I do think, yeah, this David A. Sinclair book, AI getting integrated in that, making the medical system much better. I saw an article the other day, I think it was a team of Chinese neurosurgeons getting tests against a team of AI on MRI brain scans to identify tumors. I mean, the professionals were great. They got like 70% of the cases correct. The artificial intelligence blew them out of the water, 80% plus, probably. And it's
why. But imagine, when you take the smallest human model, you make it work for like 100 days. You take all the knowledge and you put it in the model. That model has it. Never forgets it. Never gets tired. So why waste your energy on competing? You've got to collaborate. We spoke a little bit earlier about the connectivity around jobs and that premise. It comes down to this. A human with AI beats AI.
AI on its own can't do anything. AI was taught by humans.
Its models, it's taught by someone. It's like me training, let's assume I'm the best rugby coach in the world and I train a team. They will always be give that AI a little they'll never get until someone that teaches the next one better. Right? So the level never drop. There's no injuries, there's no none of that. So the premise behind it is if you are the one creating and being creative and the one figuring out the next cool thing, while you're creating, your standards no longer dropping. Because your AI is keeping your standard. Because it's your baseline. And that's massive. Think about it. Your lowest standard is your base standard.
And you can only go up from there. It almost just leaves chance for creation. Or it leaves...
It's just what humans do best.
Yeah.
We innovate. We are... That's what we do.
Do you think AI can create? I understand it can create. It can, like, in a while, I'll show you some very cool AI-generated images. But it can create that. But can it create, like, a human can? Like, you can feed it. You can feed it all the information about Mozart and all these great composers. But can you make that, I don't know, Fifth Symphony or
whatever?
No, it can't. I don't think it can.
It will create variants of what we've created. It just, remember, humans created the math for it to create against what we've created. So it's like a the way I think about it, it's like a closed loop system. It's in the compounds of the objects. It can color in our picture better than we can ever color in our picture. But it's not going to create a new picture.
Yeah.
It will create a picture that compounds what it knows. It's almost like, let's take a little bit of a sci-fi take on this, like Star Wars, Star Trek, like that. It's not going to know what a Klingon is or because it hasn't traveled, but it will know it once you tell it.
That's the language.
Yeah.
Like a slightly apart from that, but like me knowing my fellow peers, like people just sometimes are just lazy in the way that they leave the creating for the AI, they won't do that creation. So does that not make your workforce like a little bit lazier? Because there's so much relying on...
No, I'm going to answer before you even finish, because we did that before we had GPT. I was the guy that did Yahoo before there was Google. And I was like, you and I have had this conversation before. Like, what is the definition of an expert? It's the guy who knows 5 minutes more than you.
Yeah.
Why do people think that a new tool is cheating? It's just laziness. It's people that, like my RSC works, when we can use analogies that all business schools use. We can go down the Blockbuster Netflix example. We can go down all these examples, right? If you really look into those examples, they're not as simple as people make them out to be, right? And an example is Kodak. Kodak knew that cameras are going to be digital. They created the first digital camera, but they got one thing wrong. They went, we're not going to build the digital cameras, although we have the best one on the market, we're not going to put our money on them. People that create digital cameras are one, they're going to print their photos. So they put it in the technology of printing.
Not on cloud.
How often did it also cloud?
Yeah.
How often have you printed a photo of your 20 gigabit mother Apple photo? No one prints this photo.
A big round zero, nothing.
So they got right where it was going. They got it wrong where it wanted us.
Ooh.
So they knew it. They basically had the best camera. Nah, we're going to lose cameras. Because other people will do that, but we'll print every photo in the world. So that's where they went wrong. It's not that data literacy is all coming. That's when it's not film development, it's still photo printing.
Yeah, just a bit unlucky, I guess, with it.
The premise is that it's not as simple as people make it, it's a story to be. They often go, they go wrong. They knew this was going to happen. They had the basis. They just made the wrong bet.
Yeah. I want to show you some interesting things that I found. It's a bit of a thread. But very, very, very interesting. It's about AI and picture generation. Yes.
What makes us unique?
This is Adidas.
Is our passion for what we do.
Can you hear it?
We walk with purpose in every step. Doesn't matter who you are.
This is sort of a little.
We all have the power to change the world.
It is so amazing.
Every obstacle is a friend.
The big companies are starting to. Yes, very basic. Open AI, they've released this technology, or not released it, but they've talked about it beforehand. But for the public, they haven't released it. And I mean, from the videos you saw there, you can understand why. You get in.
It goes back to what we started the conversation. It's a tool. Right? So it's just a smarter tool.
So tell me, is that not bloody awesome? That is so creative. You can be, see, it's scary. It's all the things above. But is that not, you can be so creative and do such cool art by so many writing prompts and getting something that, you know what happened with me today? I saw a beautiful bird fly, but I'm a creative, and for a reason I want to make pigs start flying. I can't physically make a pig fly, but I can code in that it's a beautiful day here in Budapest. It is daytime, the sun is shining, and it's blue, and like a bird, there's a pink pig flying through the sky. You get a pretty cool image out of that. You get a pretty good video generation out of that.
So maybe let's take a different perspective on this, right? We always say it's amazing how imaginative kids are. Right?
They have the best imagination, I think, personally.
Exactly.
I mean, Until it gets crushed by anxiety.
So will that continue?
Yeah.
Because we now have this thing where we go, creativity is no longer, it's not like a niche. So why would you crush creativity?
I don't think you can ever take the childlike wonder away or the creative side.
There's societies, Nathan, especially the Eastern societies, that's mathematical, right? So the question I'm trying to say is, when you take their math power and you give it to everyone, and you've got other societies that's all about creativity and in some way, let's call it stupidity or entitlement. You've got this huge mash of, we're going to give this incredible tool to all these societies at different places. And there's a couple of societies that's better equipped to handle this, because they're going to go, it's not a pig pig, it's a pig pig with a blue tail, with this and that, and they're going to create a cool new Pixar movie. Right? It's not inevitable, because I go back to what I said to you, whether it is text or whether it's video or whether it's generation, you have 100 billion super smart bridges that you can train. You can train them on video generation, you can train them on anything.
So I don't think this is the most relevant question, or the most a question that might help. All of the AI tech that we are getting from is all straight San Francisco or California. It's from American built companies, I mean, Anthropic, OpenAI. What is Alarm running on?
Alarm.
I think it's Google.
Gemini.
Yeah, of course, Gemini from Google. Maybe it's also from Anthropic
as
Claude.
Nonetheless. Here's my question to you. Do you track any Chinese brands?
That was my question. We only have American, or the only known brands that we know is from America.
Is this technology in the East as well? Absolutely, and I'm going to be right. But India has got a couple, and so maybe the way I think about it is America is really good with monetizing. They've got a system that's worked out of monetizing globally, they've got a spray, they've got the... But there's a new chipset coming from a company in China called Chai Chi. It's the first optical GPU in the world. Okay? It is 40% more effective than NVIDIA's latest chipset on power, and 60% more accurate on execution. Okay? Now, you ask me whether China is doing something right. They are absolutely and unequivocally not just doing something.
But they are playing it. They are LeBron James-ing America.
But I want to give you an American analogy to compare. Google is by far the most innovative company of the big four in America. And my business runs on Microsoft. I do everything myself. I love Microsoft. Right? I don't make any decisions. Google cannot commercialize like Microsoft does. The reason I bring up this point, okay?
Do they have the same assets, or why? They don't have the breadth of the experience, and they're way more innovative.
Like, I hate saying this, but they are. But when it comes to enterprise software and security and scaling, and it's kind of like no one needs Microsoft there. But they innovate. So the point I'm trying to make that is, like, even if you look at America, there's innovators and there's first followers, and Microsoft is a first follower. They take and they commoditize and they sell.
No one has. See, America is incredible. And they have fantastic years, and so does Google. But Google has so much ad revenue that they don't always need the rest, so it becomes like fourth. The reason I'm telling you the story is, you have this country in China, it's got the best chips in the world, you've got Nvidia, that's the second one.
Doesn't compete, right? The one product is like cheaper, better, faster. So why? It's macro demands, right? So you back calls. It's like trading. You back calls. You decide where you build your business. Do you do both? You should. different brands and like doing it in a different way. But absolutely, the best thing about all this is we all win.
Yeah.
We as consumers, we all win because intelligence is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
More effective, faster, better computing.
We're all winning because the one thing America got it right is democratizing and putting it in everybody's hands. So that's what democracy is about. It's giving everyone the same opportunity. So whether you are Kaiser, a sheik, a king, if you have $20 a month, you have intelligence.
If you, anyone in today's time, the common folk can have whatever they want to. It gives power. It almost takes the barrier away from power. Like, I understand, yeah. Because you have this... I don't want to make it like that type of way, but you have this higher-end class that in general would have better resources, better knowledge, better tech. And then like you have this lower class over here, which don't have any of that. They have all this privilege.
It's exactly, don't shy away from it. It's exactly what it is. It's exactly the levels to the playing field. So what becomes the secret to being successful? And I'll compliment you there, right? You care about this. You want to understand this, you want to investigate this. So this sounds horrible, but let's slice. What percentage of the people that are studying you in your age group are as invested as you are now?
At the same time, I can't really give deliver an opinion because I'm in the wrong field. I'm invested.
You are in the right field because every field is AI. Okay? There's not an AI field. AI is not a specialization. AI is a tool that you apply to your trade. The fact that you understand what it means and how it's going to change things is that's your different challenge. It comes back to the topic you said about jobs and not jobs. You will be the best vet because you will use the right tool to do the job.
The tool will probably do most of it at the end of the day. But if you know how to leverage that, man, you are And I feel like on that note, we have like 5 more minutes left of the meeting. I wanna just let me ask like one more question about AI. Security-wise, in like 1 minute, like 2 minutes. I know cybersecurity is a topic. I don't know anything about it. Is there danger lurking around? Is there something we need to put our eyes on? Or?
Absolutely. Like, you should be super worried. I say that tongue-in-cheek for a reason. Is that any different to how you handle any other asset? When you have money, you put it in the bank because otherwise someone's going to break your glass and steal it. Right? It's this thing around, it's my data, it's my AI, it's my prompt, it's mine. So you should look at cyber exactly the way you look at any other asset. Protect it, understand how to do it. I'm fascinated how I think people are more educated in AI than they are in data protection. There's almost no one I know that doesn't use a Gmail account or an Outlook account or a Yahoo account.
Everyone uses it. Yeah.
The fact that you use that, you've already said, all my data is your data. The day you created that account, you said to Google, my email is yours. They train your data, they work on your data. I personally do not have a free email account. I pay for my Gmail, I pay for Outlook, I pay for everything. I pay for Gemini, I pay for GPT, I pay for work. Why? My data.
Protection.
It's my data.
Yeah.
I track them all, da da da. And the way I think about it, and I'm from South Africa, and we have some issues around security and safety. I have a wall around my house with electric fence. That's why I stand around in the industry. That's what I do when I pay my subscription for all these things. It's time.
Yeah.
And you should absolutely care about it. You should absolutely care about it. So the next time you click on anything,
what context is this? Are you talking about VPN? Protection, so that I know, like, what is this?
Make it simpler. Nothing is free. So a Gmail account, that it's not free. So you are paying Google for them to use your data. So every single email you've ever sent on your free Gmail account is there.
So pay. Sorry. Sign up, pay. Yeah.
It's like minuscule money. It really is not a lot. It's gotten so cheap. But people haven't... So let me put it this way. Do you pay for the Netflix? Yes, you do. Right? Because if you don't, you don't get it. Okay. Well, this is a free Netflix version, but it's a lot of ads, so you don't pay for it.
Yeah. It's like Facebook YouTube Premium. It's like YouTube Premium. Like YouTube is very cool, but as soon as you turn your phone off, everything stops. So if you go out of the app, get Premium. They do all get these extra features and stuff. Yeah.
Same for your mail. Same for your GPT. Same for your LLM. Same for just if you care about your data and you care about your privacy. The worst thing you can do is have a conversation with me at a barbecue and tell me, you know what, I think this is my conversation. I'm like, do you have a piece of it? You know, so in short, people are getting what they pay for because they're not paying.
Okay. Thank you so much. I want to give a big thanks. I really felt the need to just have an artificial intelligence talk, just like in general. I think this is very insightful, very, really can, you can put you into perspective of how the next few years are going to look like, maybe how to navigate through it, how to protect yourself through it. And for that, I want to say thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And thank you for joining the Good Vibes Only podcast. Highly appreciate it.
Absolutely appreciate it, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.